Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from San Diego is Jordan Goldrich from Workplace Warrior Incorporated. Jordan's an executive coach who does leadership development, and he specializes in working with executives who have been called bullies. Jordan, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, my honor to be here.
Oh, well, thank you. So we're going to talk about bullying, and executives who get called bullies cause problems in the workplace, both from a morale perspective as well as a compliance perspective, often pushing people to do things that they really shouldn't. You tend to refer to them as warriors and say that they add value. How is that?
Well, technically, I refer to them as no BS executives, and warrior is the master of them. And there are three or four types. But basically, people who get called bully, most of them don't want to hurt people. Most of them have what I refer to as an uncommon desire to succeed. They tend to take charge, lead their teams, accomplish the mission. They're never out of the fight. And I believe we need these people in our organizations if we want to be successful in these volatile, uncertain times. Unfortunately, partly for cultural issues and partly because they're imperfect human beings and they step over the line, they are often experienced as, on the minimal side, annoying, and on the higher side as disrespectful and or bullies.
Which obviously starts getting into problematic areas. So now, what role does culture play in allowing or creating bullies, or at least the perception that it's okay to be a bully?
Sure. So there's a couple of roles. One role is that my experience is I grew up in a loud New York family in a city housing project that was built for returning war veterans. So working class folk, I developed a very, very direct style of communication, was often experienced as perhaps tactless or even disrespectful. Not so much in New York, but when I moved to the Midwest, I had to learn how to change my style. So that's part of it. You know, people who come from certain ethnic cultures, from certain national cultures and certain regions of the company, to say nothing of different family cultures, may or may not be experienced as abrasive or as bullies by people who come from different cultures.
And it's one of those things that is very difficult to deal with when, you know, moving around the world, is finding out, you know, what is and what isn't acceptable in terms of communications. But sometimes it gets, you know, well beyond what is just a cultural thing versus somebody who really is pushing people to do things that they shouldn't. Now, in your experiences, what steps do compliance executives need to take to be effective in working with these kinds of executives?
So there are really two primary ones. The first one is that they need to manage themselves. They need to manage their own judgment and their own negative feeling about these people and see them as imperfect human beings, and also recognize that part of what's going on is that they do come from a different culture, and they may be just talking. They may not intend to hurt people. The second piece would be to be very direct with them. They need to know exactly what their impact is on other people. They need to know whether or not there are going to be consequences down the road for their continuing to behave that way. And also they need to know whether or not there are potential liability issues for the company in very clear terms. So often they're not told those things because either the person, the compliance officer, or the HR person, or their boss is conflict avoidant and doesn't want to trigger them, or they are very valuable people, which often they are, and they don't want to annoy them or get them to think about leaving. So those are the two reasons I come across why they're not told directly.
So how do you let people with this personality type know that, look, there's aggressive is fine, but there's a line that you're crossing over into improper bullying behavior, and you've got to not do that?
Yes. So again, you need to get past your own negative reaction to them, your emotional reaction to them, and recognize that they are imperfect human beings and that they may come from a family culture or national or ethnic culture that's more direct than your company culture or than you are. Secondly, you need to be real direct. You need to let them know what the impact is of their behavior. You need to be able to describe their behavior specifically, let them know what the impact of their behavior is. Certainly alert them to the exposure that the company is experiencing, and finally get together with their boss and other executives and find out whether or not people will support that there are consequences for failure to improve. So as an executive coach, if there are no consequences for failure to improve, or they haven't been communicated, I'm faced with appealing to their intrinsic motivation as opposed to helping them manage a situation that's difficult for them. So they need to be told clearly.
Now, let's say hypothetically, you know, you're a compliance professional, you've got one of these people you're either working with directly on a regular basis, or that person may be your boss. How do you communicate effectively on an ongoing basis with that person? Let's focus maybe this time on just if that's your reporting relationship.
How do you, in other words, how do you manage up?
Exactly.
Yeah. So one of the techniques that I have learned along the way, and there are so many people who have contributed to it that I can't even give recognition, I refer to as leveraging the I'm in service to you position. So if my boss comes in, and I work with people like this, if my boss comes in or their boss comes in and says, I want you to do this, the first thing that you do is, again, from the I'm in service to you position, say something like, you know, I'd like to ask a bunch of questions about what's going on so I know I'm really supporting you. And if you can keep that, and then ask, is that okay? Sometimes you'll get, just do it. However, assuming that the person begins to tell you, you get a bigger picture. Then you have a choice. If you're seeing how this could go wrong for the person and they are somebody who doesn't want to hear it, then you leave for a while and you come back an hour later or a day later and say, you know, I've been thinking about what you asked me to do, and I wouldn't be supporting you in coming up with a winning solution or achieving what we're wanting to achieve if I didn't let you know that I could see some ways this could go really wrong. Do you want to hear it? And again, if they say no, leave. And ultimately, by the way, this is not a I'm in service to you, please listen to me. The tone of voice is equal or even superior, but the words are, I wouldn't be doing my job supporting you if I didn't. And it creates sort of a paradox in their minds and makes them more open to hearing. It's also something you can do in team meetings. And it's also something you can do is if you are giving your employee negative feedback, which is, I wouldn't be doing my job supporting you and your success in this organization if I didn't give you some feedback. So that's the general principle.
Now, let's flip it around. What are steps to changing you should take if you're the one who's being perceived as a bully by others?
Yeah. So again, as I shared with you before, not in our conversation, but outside our conversation, I had gotten feedback through most of my career. I write about this story in my book, where I was experienced as tactless and too direct, and my boss, who was conflict avoidant, didn't tell me. So again, and I got fired for something other than being too direct. However, once you get that feedback, one of the things that often happens with these people is that their experience is, or their belief is, that the pressure that they are receiving to be more polite and more protective and more careful is politically correct bull. And so they have to get past that and find some authentic reason why they should change, why they would do it and still be authentic. So again, in my book, I talk about some of the reasons why they should do that, among which are that their job is to manage the function. It's not just to get results. And it's very clear that if you're not speaking the language of your function, that's your job and you need to do that. And it actually will result in your being more effective. But secondly, that technique that I was talking about earlier of operating from the I'm in service to you position is actually a way that you can be, strangely enough, a lot tougher with people than if they dismiss you because you're being a jerk. So again, you have to find some genuine intrinsic motivation to change. The second thing you need to do is do some research. And there's two pieces to the research. One is you need to have conversations with other people with your key stakeholders about that your intention is to have positive relationships. Do they think you're working on the right thing? And what do they want to see from you? And for your listeners, if you have heard of Marshall Goldsmith, who is one of the top executive coaches in the world, it's his process. It's called Feed Forward. And if you Google Marshall Goldsmith, Feed Forward, you'll come. He's put the whole thing out for people, and you can download a relatively short article on how do you do that. So I do that all the time with everybody that I coach, is use Marshall Goldsmith's Feed Forward. So they need to do that research and find out what is actually wanted. The second thing they need to do is they need to research themselves. And that's usually done with assessments, or it's done by talking with somebody, whether that be a coach or a therapist or a friend. And they need to identify what it is in them that is triggering these responses and learn how to practice fixing those responses. So that's number two. And then they need to implement some strategies. They need to start doing different things and evaluate how it goes. It's a journey. It usually takes somewhere around 3 months to 6 months before you start seeing some change in the way that the person is evaluated.
Wow, very interesting and very provocative topic. I want to thank you for sharing it with us. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Chittletaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.